You're listening to KSVR Mount Vernon, Cedro Woolley and Laconner, and KSVU Hamilton, Concrete and Marble Mount.
It's now time for Skagitalks, featuring local news, interviews, and information from around the valley, created with the help of Skagit County community volunteers. Now, KSVR 91.7 presents Skagitalks. Today is a conversation with Blake Vanfield, director of Genuine Skagit Valley. She talks about Farm Stand Fresh, which highlights farm stands from across the valley in July and August. Visitors gain access to local chefs offering personal Zoom calls filled with tips and tricks on cooking and preserving. In the Northwest News Report, U.S. Attorney warns against voter intimidation. Washington voting map lawsuits in Yakima Valley won't affect 2022 elections. All this and more on today's edition, now Farm Stand Fresh.
I'm Gregory Sweet, and welcome to Skagit Talks. My special guest today is Blake Vanfield, who's the director of Genuine Skagit Valley. And we're going to talk a little bit today about Farm Stand Fresh, which is a program that has been around in Skagit Valley, sponsored by Genuine Skagit Valley. This is 3 years in a row, and the program takes place in July and August. Blake, welcome to the program. Glad to have you here today.
Well, thank you, Gregory. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to share information on our wonderful farm stands here in the Skagit Valley.
Give me a little idea, and our listeners too, if you can, about what went into forming this and how many different farm stands are participating and what parts of Skagit Valley are the farm stands available for both locals and tourists?
Sure. Well, great questions. To back up a bit in history, to answer the question on how did Genuine Skagit Valley come about and hence Farm Stand Fresh, Genuine Skagit Valley entered the public sphere in 2019. However, it was years of stakeholder involvement and collaboration and many partnerships between the public and private sector, which really did help create Genuine Skagit Valley as a place-based marketing program in order to support the visibility of our agricultural community. As we all know, our farms here are incredible. They're very special. It's a valuable part of our heritage and economy. And with Genuine Skagit Valley, we certify our Skagit grown and made agricultural goods and services.
And how many are participating in this program this year, Blake?
The program in general, of course, we're open to many, many people and businesses and producers in the community. We have a membership currently that's at 85. However, of that, within the farm stands, we have 17 farm stands participating this year. It's our third year. When we first started, we had 12. So I'm very excited to be able to include more. And one thing that is special this year is that we opened it up to our shellfish producers. Many have stands and markets. And of course, you can't have a farm stand in the middle of our beautiful ocean here. So being able to have them and they bring those products in that are grown right here in our Skagit waters. Otherwise, we have farm stands that also to go back to one of your questions of is where are they located? They're located well across the entire Skagit Valley. So Laconner, Conway, Big Lake, Cedro Woolley, over into Beau Edison, Mount Vernon. Really, you can crisscross the countryside and see everything.
We have such a beautiful valley here in the Skagit Valley, designated a scenic agriculture corridor. Yeah. So mm-hmm. Not only do we grow some of the largest output of products in the United States, but also it's beautiful to look at as well. and for, yes. For tourists to go through and locals alike to do that. Are you seeing a lot more participation from locals this year as we're starting to somewhat pull away from the pandemic?
The pandemic, believe it or not, encouraged our locals to shop for and connect with our farmers, and especially it was nice to visit these open air environments that I think many people appreciated at the time. And so we did see a large number of our local residents pivot and change their shopping habits a little bit to support our local farmers. What we hope to see is that that continues. Not only do we have a growing visitor population that is really beginning to appreciate and discover what agriculture does and brings to our neck of the woods here, but it's also an incredible opportunity for those that live here, just within a few mile radius of their homes, to access locally grown foods. And these foods are amazing. That part of my job is easy. It's everything here is that's grown and sold is of such good quality and diversity.
I personally appreciate them as well. There's a lot of them that I visit myself, and sometimes it's exciting when something's not right at the stand and they just turn around and walk out into the field and pick it for you.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is amazing. You know.
It is. It is. I was just at one of our stands the other day that grows just beautiful berries. And they had just been picked about 3 hours prior to getting there. And that freshness is something we have it everywhere here. So let's take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Let's also let everyone know that they can get more information by going to your website, which is genuineskagitvalley.com. And there is a link there for Farm Stand Fresh that will take them to who all the participants are in Skagit Valley and where they're located. I noticed there was a map on there that showed where they were as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Visitors are welcome to go to a page that says Explore Skagit, and you can customize the map in order to pull all of the farm stands and create driving routes throughout the valley. And one thing I would like to note about the program is we really appreciate and support our restaurants and our local chefs and culinarians. So for those that visit a farm stand, they can sign up to connect with one of our local chefs or culinarians, and we call them chef chats. But they're a 15-minute one-on-one Zoom, and those that are buying and using and cooking with our Skagit foods can get some kitchen inspiration from one of our chefs. And
That's
it's open to everybody.
That's fantastic. And they can access that link on your website?
No, they have to go to a farm stand. So in order to sign up, the only way to do so is in person and at a farm stand. And those farm stands, the 17 participating ones, are listed on our website.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. I like the idea that I knew that, you know, there were a lot of local restaurants that were using locally produced food, but I didn't realize this connection. This sounds wonderful, especially if you
Absolutely.
Can get some tips.
Yeah. We all get in our cooking ruts, and sometimes it's just nice to get some other ideas. And also, folks can sign up to win gift certificates to our local restaurants at the farm stands.
That's an added bonus. It's great. Tell me a little bit about Genuine Skagit Valley and how it was formed and how long it's been in business as well.
Sure. It really has been a collaboration with the Innovation Partnership Zone. The Washington State Department of Commerce designated the Skagit Valley as an Innovation Partnership Zone, and I'll refer to it as IPZ. And there are several of those throughout the state of Washington. Led by the Port of Skagit, and also involved with this is the City of Mount Vernon, WSU, the Northwest Agricultural Business Center. Also, private industry farmers all participated in this IPZ in order to create support for value-added agriculture here in the Skagit Valley. How can we raise the profile, the reputation, as well as expound upon the terroir that is here? As we all know, Skagit has the top 2% of soils in the world. It's really, the Delta is an incredible place to live, but also to grow food. It's very valuable. And part of my job when I came on board in 2019 was to first help people pronounce Skagit. And then after that, we move into sharing the good word about our incredible crops and foods here.
I love that you pointed out about the pronunciation of the word Skagit.
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
I've heard Skagit many times.
Oh, yeah. My friends around the United States, when they see that, the first thing they do is pronounce it incorrectly. It's always funny. That's good.
Yeah. So once we move past that, we help educate our not only with locally, but regionally and ultimately nationally and worldwide is the goal of this program. We did do survey work in 2017 that found that less than 50% of Puget Sound residents even knew of one crop grown here in Skagit. And we grow over 80 commercial crops. So we have a really good opportunity for education and awareness.
You certainly do. I enjoy, so many people that do know about Skagit Valley are primarily introduced to it through the Tulip Festival, but not necessarily be aware of how much of a breadbasket Skagit Valley really is.
That's a great way to describe it. We have a high season. It's the springtime with the tulips, and then also the fall with the pumpkins, harvest festivals. And Farm Stand Fresh is an effort to keep Skagit agriculture on people's radar for much of the year. So come visit our farms, shop at our farms throughout the year. And that's one of the reasons why we launched this campaign in 2020 come July, August, there still is so much to see and do and experience and taste here.
It's fantastic. There are 17 different farm stands that are participating this year in Farm Stand Fresh. That is part of Genuine Skagit Valley. And the map and the participating farmers and also, as you said, flowers, meats, berries, and now shellfish as well this year are available to ascertain where they are, who they are, and even sign up for those cooking little tips that come about at each individual stand. And you can do that by going to genuineskagitvalley.com/farmstand-fresh, or just go to genuineskagitvalley.com, and there's a link there that will take you to where the interactive map is that will show you where they all are and how to sign up for the individual farm stands that will show you where to link to the restaurants and cooking class, not classes exactly, but tips, I guess, is the best way to put that. Mm-hmm. What's next?
What's next? Well, we are also in an effort to increase awareness of our Skagit farmers. We are launching the Genuine Skagit Valley Pantry, which is a consolidated display of our Skagit foods. And that's in partnership with the Skagit Valley Food Co-op. So that is what's coming up next.
That's exciting. Really is. It sounds like a major program that'll benefit Skagit Valley with the pantry. I am thrilled that you came on our show today, Blake. I really am. And to talk about that, let me go ahead and introduce you one more time. Blake Vanfield, who's the director of Genuine Skagit Valley, and the website where you can get more information on Farm Stand Fresh is at genuineskagitvalley.com. And there's a link there that will take you to Farm Stand Fresh. This is the third year in a row where the participants are in July and August, and connecting farmers and growers directly to locals and tourists. Blake, thank you so much for joining me here today.
All righty. Thank you, Gregory. I appreciate it.
This is Gregory Sweet with Skagit Talks.
Here's the Northwest News Report. Voter intimidation won't be tolerated. That is the message from the U.S. Attorney for Western Washington. Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins reports.
In a statement, U.S. Attorney Nick Brown warns that voter intimidation is a federal crime and says any attempt to harass or discourage people from using the state's secure election drop boxes will be investigated and prosecuted. Brown's statement follows media reports about conservative activists organizing a Dropbox surveillance program to watch for, quote, suspicious activity. Separately, Democratic Governor Jay Inslee blasted the nascent program as an outrage and an affront.
Democracy is our greatest blessing, and this is an assault on democracy. It is a clear and obvious intent to intimidate people to stop them from voting.
The Dropbox Watch program is timed to coincide with Washington's August 2nd primary. There's no evidence of widespread fraud in Washington's vote-by-mail system. Also, protections are in place to verify the validity of ballots dropped in Dropboxes. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.
A lawsuit is challenging legislative redistricting in the Yakima Valley, saying it dilutes voting of people of Latin heritage. However, the suit is set to go to trial in 2023, after the midterm election. Eric Tegedoff explains.
In a statement, U.S. Attorney Nick Brown warns that voter intimidation is a federal crime and says any attempt to harass or discourage people from using the state's secure election drop boxes will be investigated and prosecuted. Brown's statement follows media reports about conservative activists organizing a Dropbox surveillance program to watch for, quote, suspicious activity. Separately, Democratic Governor Jay Inslee blasted the nascent program as an outrage and an affront.
Democracy is our greatest blessing, and this is an assault on democracy. It is a clear and obvious intent to intimidate people to stop them from voting.
The Dropbox Watch program is timed to coincide with Washington's August 2nd primary. There's no evidence of widespread fraud in Washington's vote-by-mail system. Also, protections are in place to verify the validity of ballots dropped in Dropboxes. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The confusing and antiquated language that we have on the books today from the 1887 Electoral Count Act is a real and present danger to our democracy. We can fix that.
Led by West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin and Maine Republican Susan Collins, a bipartisan group of senators introduced legislation to reform the Electoral Count Act. The measure clarifies the vice president has a strictly ceremonial role during the certification of presidential election results. The vagueness of the original law was exposed when congressional supporters of former President Donald Trump attempted to overturn results in five states. The Secret Service is starting to turn over records in response to a January 6th committee subpoena seeking deleted text messages. The agency is accused of violating federal records laws by failing to preserve data. During primetime tonight, the committee will outline Trump's actions on January 6th. When asked about the possibility of Trump facing charges, Attorney General Merrick Garland said no person is above the law.
There is nothing in the principles of prosecution, in any other factors which prevent us from investigating anyone, who's criminally responsible for an attempt to undo a Democratic election.
In a new lawsuit, a Democratic group claims the Federal Election Commission has failed to investigate Trump's hints he will run for president in 2024. The group alleges the former president is attempting to sidestep federal election laws. Now to the Senate, where mass shootings were discussed in a committee hearing. Texas Republican John Cornyn argued gun restrictions aren't the answer.
What does matter is the person possessing that firearm. And certainly our focus has been keeping them out of the hands of people with criminal records and people with mental health problems.
However, the mayor of Highland Park, Illinois, Nancy Rotering, called for an assault rifle ban in her testimony about the July 4th parade massacre.
We know that there are mental health issues in other countries throughout this world. We know that there are troubled people who are inclined towards violence. What's the differentiating factor? Combat weapons and access to civilians. There's no place for these weapons.
On Wednesday, members of Congress also heard from the First Lady of Ukraine, Olena Zelenska.
Russia is destroying our people.
Zelenska specifically asked for air defense systems that can intercept Russian missiles and thanked Congress for the tens of billions of dollars in assistance it's already provided. The Senate advanced legislation to provide billions in assistance to the U.S. semiconductor industry. The CHIPS measure is a scaled-back attempt to improve competitiveness with China. And as expected, President Biden announced new steps to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Climate change is an emergency, and in the coming weeks, I'm going to use the power I have as president to turn these words into formal, official government actions.
Initiatives include investments in programs to protect communities from flooding and help cover heating and cooling costs for low-income families. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Here's the national news.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, July the 21st, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. There is a plan to make all of New York City's subway system accessible for riders with disabilities, but not at a pace that's fast enough for some customers.
New York City's subway system has often been a thorn in the side of the differently abled community. That's because only 114 of the system's 472 stations, or 24%, are disability accessible. But that's slated to change as part of a class action settlement. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority says, as part of its next round of capital improvements, all remaining subway stations will be made accessible for people with disabilities. Jeff Peters at the Center for Independence of the Disabled, New York, feels it's a major step forward, despite the lengthy timeline.
The fact that it is a long time frame is not the greatest thing in the world. Of course, we'd all love to see this be done in a faster manner, but this is now the first time that they've actually mandated that there is a date and there is money set aside for this.
MTA is aiming for 81 stations to be made accessible by 2025, with improvements to a second round of 85 stations 10 years after that. In the two decades afterward, 180 stations will be made accessible by 2055. According to the New York City Department of Health, more than 3 million people in the city live with a disability. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And the volunteer state ranks poorly in the U.S. for its overall lack of voter participation.
Over the last decade, critics say the poor turnout is partly a result of regular purges of the voter rolls, new registration requirements, and the state's restrictive voting laws that create unnecessary barriers. Ballots are already being cast for the upcoming August 4th primary, and Debbie Gould, who heads the League of Women Voters of Tennessee, says so far the early voting turnout is low.
Almost nobody is doing early voting, which is really unusual. We're a state that likes to early vote, but we have less than 1% of the voters who've done early voting the first 3 days.
Tennessee's early voting period for this primary ends July 30th. For a public news service, I'm Danielle Smith.
The August 4 election ballot is the longest in Tennessee history. It has 20 pages of information for voters to digest. Now from the Associated Press, President Biden Wednesday announced modest new steps to combat climate change and promised more robust action to come, saying this is an emergency and I will look at it that way. The AP notes the president stopped short of declaring a formal climate emergency. That is something Democrats and environmental groups have been seeking. Biden hinted such a step could be in the works. This is PNS. Far-right candidates made inroads in Idaho's Republican primary and likely will have seats in the state legislature after November's election. But Eric Tegedoff reports subgroups in Idaho say these candidates have not shown an affinity for democracy.
Tony Stewart is a longtime human rights activist in North Idaho. He says some extreme candidates lost on the statewide level and in eastern Idaho, but won seats in four Senate races in the panhandle, along with local offices down ballot. He says folks with extreme views also have attended and disrupted local government meetings.
It's very, very intense, and it's very hard to have dialogue in those kinds of situations.
Stewart says while fringe candidates have been successful in many parts of North Idaho, they still struggle to win elections in Coeur d'Alene.
And new research out of the University of Minnesota reveals rural LGBTQ folks face unique and often unmet mental and physical health needs.
The Minnesota research published last month indicates social cohesion can play a major role in the health and well-being of LGBTQ people, and it documents how some organizations are trying to meet that need. Mariana Tuttle of the University of Minnesota's Rural Health Research Center says community organizations can play a major role in supporting that sense of belonging.
So the organizations we spoke with were doing a range of work, including support groups and relationship building activities that may fall under the social and emotional support needs, to anti-bullying efforts and education for their entire community that could more broadly impact the environment that folks live in.
One of the groups profiled in Tuttle's research is the Virginia Rural Health Association, which aims to improve health access and quality of care for the Commonwealth's rural communities. This is Jonah Chester reporting.
Finally, Mike Bowen tells us good heart health is associated with avoiding a range of medical issues. New research shows only about 1 in 5 Americans has what you would call optimal cardiovascular health.
This summer's new study, appearing in the journal Circulation, used the American Heart Association's new Life's Essential 8 scoring system. It found that 80% of adults landed at a low or moderate level. Dr. Dave Kapaska is a retired executive from Avera McKennan Hospital in Sioux Falls. He says providers face a challenge in motivating patients to embrace healthier lifestyles, but he adds there are other things beyond a person's control.
Genetically, there certainly are socioeconomic realities that occur, and all of these things fold together.
Kapaska volunteers with the AHA as part of a broader coalition to expand Medicaid in South Dakota.
South Dakota's nonpartisan Legislative Research Council estimates more than 40,000 residents would receive coverage if Medicaid expansion were to move forward. This is by Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Thanks for listening to today's edition, produced by Joseph C. McGuire and edited by Jay Charles. You've been listening to Skagit Talks, the community information and news program on KSVR. Skagit Community Radio.
The Concrete Swap Meet is open every weekend all summer in Concrete, Washington. Public booths sell new and used items. The swap meet is on Highway 20, just across the road and west of the famous concrete silos. KSVU thanks the Concrete Swap Meet for their donation to our community radio station.
Imagine it's dark, late at night. You're leaving class, walking to the parking lot. You hear footsteps behind you. You feel uneasy. You speed up. They seem to speed up. You're not sure what to do. Don't delay. Call 416-7777. Campus Security is here to lend you a hand.
They were here when our class instructor needed a battery charge in the early morning hours. They're here to escort you to your car. They're here to investigate any questionable or suspicious activity. They want to remind you to be safe. Lock your car doors. Leave your valuables at home or hidden. Know where the blue lighted poles are in each parking lot that contain the emergency call boxes. Don't get distracted. Stay alert to your surroundings. Why not add security to Speed Dial? They're here to help day or night, 24/7. Skagit Valley College Campus Security, doing their part to keep you safe. 360-416-7777.
One day, I'll teach chemistry to kids.
I'm going to be an architect.
My dream is to be a chef.
At the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Federal Student Aid, we provide more than $150 billion each year in grants, loans, and work-study funds, making higher education possible for anyone at any stage of life.
I can go back to college.
I can change careers.
I can make a difference.
Federal Student Aid, proud sponsor of the American Mind. Learn more about money for college at studentaid.gov.